Do we have some time for a wrap-up?
Eric Ladenheim from Fresno. A couple questions for Dr. Work. First, I mentioned during the presentation about the recommendation for using vancomycin and gentamicin rather than cefazolin for prophylaxis for the hero graft. And that's been promoted by the company. And I wonder if you could comment on the scientific basis for that. Do you really believe that using vancomycin and plus gentamicin is better than cefazolin for this operation? If that's the case, should we be using it on all of our clean surgery?
Well, it goes back to in terms of graft placement without the HERO device, where the patient has been dependent on a central venous catheter for a long time. There's good data there that prophylaxis with vancomycin decreases your infection rate. That is a paper that was published years ago by first author was Zabari. So I think that's a standard of practice with graft placement. The origin of this and the recommendation by the company came from an experience that Mark Glickman had in Norfolk, where he was using the single agent ANSEF and had an increased infection rate. And again, this is that highly selected group of patients that have been prolonged catheter dependent, frequent previous infections. And by shifting over to the gentamicin combination in this highly selected group, decreased the infection rate greatly. And he hasn't had any infection since. So that's the basis of it. It's not been published. Next question.
The other comment I might make is that there was the recommendation for using arteries greater than 3 millimeters. Well, since 2009, we set a cutoff point of 4 millimeters for minimum arterial side, did a lot of loop grafts, more than half of the loop grafts are loop grafts. We still got a primary patency for the hero graft of 25 percent, probably kind of on the lower limits of what we expect to see from arteriovenous grafts. So I'm not certain that choosing a bigger artery necessarily overcomes the long length and high resistance of the hero graft.
Again, the recommendations based on some of the experience Mark Glickman has had, and basically by proximal, it's the same principle that you use in terms of a drill procedure or any proximalization procedure. You're basically increasing the pressure head since you're moving it up to the axillary artery, a larger diameter artery, higher pressures to drive the flow through that relatively long conduit. And so that's the basis of that.
One more question, if there's time, Dr. Work. How do you think, based on this experience with the hero graft so far, I mean, how do you think the hero graft should shake out in the algorithms compared with doing like a thigh fistula? In our experience, in 2009 we put in 12 heroes, 2010 11 heroes, but 2011 that number was cut in half, just 6 hero grafts, because we're putting in more autogenous thigh fistulas using the superficial femoral vein. Do you think that the good results with the hero graft make the solution a choice for bilateral central venous stenosis?
No, I think again we need to individualize for the patient. The thigh graft is a very good choice in some patients. This is the particular case I presented. The patient was just adamant about having a thigh graft, so I think that's a good choice as a thigh graft. Our experience with thigh fistula is not been the same as yours has. We've not had good outcomes with thigh fish-based fistulas at all at our institution. So I think the HERO device is just another tool in our toolkit, so to speak, for particularly these challenged patients.
Cool. Thanks.
Sure.
Hello. Lin Lei from Fort Worth, Texas. My question is for the panel and the general audience. We know there's 100% subclavian stenosis after a pacemaker. Does anybody in the room have any experience in dealing with a cardiologist or the electrophysiologist in the way they implant the pacemaker?
I'll let some others comment on it. I think that's a major problem, because certainly we've published as a society the white paper about using epicardial leads, but most of the patients are coming through the cardiologist, and since that's their thing to put in the venous-based cardiac assist devices, you really need to get those patients over the cardiac surgeon, the thoracic surgeon, to do epicardial placement. And I think that's going to take some change with our patient population and education of our cardiology colleagues to really recognize this problem.
Thank you. I agree.